forgiven. I've been washed by the blood.
Today, my message is Hope in Jesus. Several of you have been listening to the radio in recent days know that that song has been played. All my hope is in Jesus. Here's what 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior and of our Christ Jesus, our hope. It's just two small words that Paul says that I think represents a whole lot more, if you will. Our hope. I hope that you have hope in Jesus. Today is Palm Sunday. If you're a child, thank you for coming in today and for waving palm branches. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. If you remember a sermon that I preached a number of years ago, there was palm. I wondered about this whole Palm Sunday thing. I was like, why are we waving palm branches? But if you look in the Old Testament, there's palm branches. And then if you look in the New Testament, you find them waving palm branches. And if you look in Revelation, you see that palm branches are a mix. Now, one of the kids asked me this morning, now, are the adults going to do the palm branches in heaven? And I said, well, I'm not sure exactly, but there's going to be palm branches. And there's something about palms. This, I believe, other than the resurrection, was probably one of the greatest days for the disciples and for Jesus. I know there was many miracles, and I know there was many signs, and they were pretty impressive. But when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, I think there was something going on that was just a little bit different. I'm assuming there was laughter. I'm assuming there was an enjoyment, and I'm assuming there was just some general fun. If you look into the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's only a couple of stories, maybe more than just a couple, more than just two, that are recorded in all four. And one of those that is recorded is Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's in Matthew chapter 21. It's in Mark chapter 11. It's in Luke chapter 19. It's in John chapter 12. Mark records this. He says that they were shouting. I will let you know that when the kids came in with palm branches, none of you were shouting today. But they were shouting as Jesus came in. They were like, praise God, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Luke says it this way, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And then this is a very familiar scripture for all of us in Luke. He goes on, and this is what it says. The Pharisees told Jesus to rebuke his disciples, but he said to them, and this is the key phrase, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. That's what was said about Palm Sunday many years ago. And Jesus says, well, if these guys keep silent, then the very stones would cry out. Let me just ask this of you. Do the stones cry out or do you cry out? How does it work? Hope. This is what people were having in Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem. I begin to wonder, when did their hope start? Maybe their hope started from the prophecies saying the Messiah is coming, and maybe that's where the hope started. Maybe it was spread when Elizabeth and Mary came together and Mary found out that Elizabeth was pregnant and there was something happening inside of her. Maybe it was when Jesus was baptized. Maybe it was when he uttered those words, come follow me. Maybe that's when hope started. Maybe hope was when he healed the lepers. Maybe hope was when he helped the paralytic. Maybe hope came when the woman who was suffering from blood then no longer had the flow of blood. Maybe it was the blind man or the demon-possessed man or the feeding of the 5,000. When was it that the hope came? Here's my opinion. Hope started when people believed individually in Jesus as the Messiah. Hope started when people believed individually in Jesus as the Messiah. When did your hope in Jesus begin? When was that when you said, I hope in Jesus and I'm going to continue to hope in Jesus? Maybe he hasn't started yet. If it hasn't, today is a great day, Palm Sunday, to say, my hope is in Jesus. It doesn't take a whole lot to do that. It takes a lot to live it out. But you can merely start by saying, my hope is in Jesus. That's where I'm placing my hope. That's where I'm laying it all on the line. Where is your hope? Christ Jesus is the hope for all mankind, all of the world. And isn't it great to have a hope that is outside of you to believe in? We have some wonderful people in this room. You're all wonderful. But if I had to hope in you, or vice versa, if you had to hope in me, we would fall short. Because I fall short. But we have one who came into our world, and his name is Jesus. And because of that, we can know that he has died for our sins and has been resurrected, and we can have hope in Jesus. Where is your hope? I'm going to speak from 1 John chapter 5, verses 13, and I'm actually going to go through verse 15, and here's what it says. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. I believe, first of all, hope starts with knowledge. We can't have hope without knowledge. We have to know about something in order to have hope in it. Let me give you an example. How many of you like ice cream? Amen. That's a great thing. I love ice cream. But if you've been in a place where you have no idea what ice cream is, then you can't have hope in having a bowl of ice cream this afternoon and or maybe stop by and get some ice cream. How can I have hope in the Vikings winning the Super Bowl if I never heard that Kirk Cousins was now going to be the starting quarterback? How would I have hope in that? I can't. How can I have hope in this thing called a cell phone when 100 years ago we had to hear a dring, 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 or however the drings were. I don't even know how that all happened. But how could I have a hope that I could talk to somebody here in the United States all the way over in England and like we could actually talk? How could you have the hope if you never knew of that? How could I hope to get to the moon if I didn't know there was a moon or knew we even could get there? How could I hope for snow if the concept has never come my way? Snow? What's snow? Well, anybody know what snow is? Snow. Anybody have hope of snow in December of 2018? Do you have knowledge in Jesus? Then hope starts there. Let me tell you a bit about Jesus. He was born of a virgin. By the way, that can't happen and will never happen again. Even with frozen embryos and implantation and all of the new medical technologies, it takes two parts to have a baby. But Mary was made pregnant by God's hand. That's where the hope began. After being born, he was raised by Joseph and Mary. He began his public ministry at age 30. He was baptized and he preached and he taught and he healed and he blessed and he did miracles. Then about 3 years later, he rode into Jerusalem, as mentioned earlier, on Palm Sunday. But a week later, he was sentenced to be crucified. The Bible says that he died to take away our sins. He was put into a tomb, but on the third day his body was not found. He had risen from the grave. Then he appeared to many, and in Acts it tells us that he ascended into heaven, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father, and all who trust in him will find eternal life in him. That's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And many have been told about Jesus, and the whole world is familiar with Easter. Some choose to disregard Jesus and focus on the Easter bunny. But Jesus is truly the reason for the season. We can have hope in Jesus because we know about him, but we have greater hope when we don't just know about him, but that we know him. Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, that's where your hope should lie. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, gone on to heaven, said this: without Christ, there is no hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. Number two from this passage, hope continues in belief. You can know, but then you have to make a decision to believe or not. I think of the small business owner who has a great product to sell. He knows it's good and he can share it with others, but they must not only know about it, they must believe in it. Knowledge and belief have different aspects. I can know that we flew to the moon and not really believe it. I can say, well, the Mythbusters has proven that that's just they just made that up. It's not even true. Or I may know that Golden State or Loyola Chicago or Michigan might be the best basketball teams in their environment, but I may not choose to believe it. I can know what you pay for, but I can continue. I can know that you get what you pay for, but I may continue to buy the cheaper thing, hoping it'll last. We do that at times. Oh, I know it's cheaper. I know it's not made of much, but I'm sure it'll last. As a reminder, you get what you pay for. But let's switch this verse around. You believe, but you must know you have eternal life. Sometimes we believe, but we don't apply that cognitively. I think they're kind of interchangeable. We need to believe and know. We need to know and believe. We need to bring them around. We need to know, believe. We need to believe and know. I don't care how you get there, but you have to have them both, and you have to agree with both of those. John 10:38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he has many good things prepared for you? In John 6:69, Peter was the one who said this. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And in Colossians 1:27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is the hope of glory. Hope is in the Son of God. You saw this video a little bit earlier, and you saw certain names of Jesus Christ. Let me give you some of those. What are the names of Jesus? Let me share. He is Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Redeemer, Salvation, Son of God, Son of Man, King of the Jews, Logos, Rabbi, Lord Christ, Emmanuel, Lamb of God, Light of the World. I just want you to look at those. Those are some of the names of Jesus. Keep those up there for a while. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, it says, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have found hope in Jesus. One of those is recorded in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is about a lady who was merely going to get water. She was a Samaritan woman, and she just merely wanted to get some water. And just who happened to be at that well at that point in time was Jesus. She has an interchange with Jesus, and Jesus says, give me a drink. And the lady's saying, well, number one, you're not a Samaritan, and number two, you're a man. You shouldn't be asking this. And he said this, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Where is your hope? Is your hope in Jesus? Is your hope in this one who gives living water? Here's what it says when it's talking about knowledge and belief later on in chapter 4, verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, verse 41, and many more believed because of his word. How do we have hope in Jesus? Because we have a knowledge of it and because we believe in it. Here's what Billy Graham says. Our world today so desperately hungers for hope, yet uncounted people have almost given up. There is despair and hopelessness on every hand. Let us be faithful in proclaiming the hope that is in Jesus. I wondered about this hope in Jesus, and I know in preaching this message that many of you have hope in Jesus, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You need to know Jesus. He calls out to you and says, I am the hope. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If you haven't ever hoped in Jesus, hope in him today. But I want to take a moment to talk to you who said, well, I hope in Jesus. I did that many, many years ago. Because here's what I think, in the preaching this message, when I talk about hope in Jesus, I think there are times when even those of you who would call yourself Christians, or maybe call yourself a saint, or maybe you call yourself a great believer, there's a time when your hope fades. There's a time when your hope maybe goes away. There's a time when your hope is just flattened, and all you have is hype instead of hope. Your O is just gone. There's hope in Jesus. There are times in our lives, even for the seasoned saint, when our hope just gets deflated. And I encourage you to re-engage and say, hope in Jesus today. Have you lost hope? Hope again in the Savior of the world. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. Hope is bolstered in confidence. Hope is bolstered in confidence. Our help is in the Lord Jesus. Let me mention this to you. Jesus was not weak. Jesus was not a coward. Jesus faced death and trial with humility and with strength. Thus, I believe each of us can put our trust in the one who was willing to go through that for each of us. Our confidence can come from him, confidence that we have toward him. We are bolstered in confidence at a time because of what has happened. Maybe your confidence is wavering a little bit. Naya, can I borrow you for a moment? For those of you who don't know, this is Naya, my daughter. Just come stand right here. Several of you have had kids that have been about this age. Several of you haven't, but I think you'll understand this, and maybe you've experienced this a little bit. We've been to the swimming pool a number of times, and my dear Naya likes to jump into the pool. We're kind of moved past that a little bit, aren't we? But on the first time when she was just a young little tyke, and I was standing in the pool, and I would look at her. Now, Naya was one. I might have another kid that might not jump quite as quick. Some of you understand this with kids. But when you have a kid and you're asking them to jump into the pool, there are some kids that are just ready to just jump. And there's other kids that you just kind of have to coax along, right? And some kids you're like, jump to dad, it'll be okay. And what happens sometimes is when you're asking for a kid to jump into your arms, you're asking them what? To trust. Now, we've all heard the stories of dads leaving and not being a good dad, but get rid of that illustration for a moment and just focus on this one. Something happens when you say, will you jump? And she just jumps this far. And then what do us as dads or moms or whoever do? We back up a step, don't we? And what happens? Do I trust this? Can I hope in my Father that he will continue to catch me? Now some kids are just crazy. How many of you were the crazy kids and you just jumped and you didn't care? Yeah. All right. Some of you are like that. Some of you are like, I don't know. I don't know if I can jump that far. One of my kids actually just jumped to me the other day, and he said, well, move a little closer. I was like, no, I got to be this far away from you. And he jumped. Why? Because he trusted me, and I did catch him, and that was good. But here's what happens. In that swimming pool, I just continue to come back, and each time I go further. Now, obviously, in this illustration, I can't stand clear back here and say, jump, and I'll catch you, okay? Because I can't do that, can I? Have you ever jumped to me? Have I ever always caught you?
Yes.
Why? Because it's a symbol of God the Father. You may be seated. Here's what I wonder about you. Whether you're jumping for the very first time or whether you feel God is out there, hope in God. Sometimes I wonder if God moves away a little more to see if we will continue to have our hope in Him. Some of you in this room understand this right now, where you're at, because your hope has kind of wavered a little bit, and you're like, well, I don't know if He'll catch me this time. Or, again, I know that He will, but I don't know that I believe that He will. Or I believe that He will, but I just don't know if He will. See, there's a connecting point there between knowledge and belief and then actually doing it. There may be somebody here who has never hoped in Jesus because it just seems like a wide chasm. Hope in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's what it says. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. And then in verse 16, it goes on. So we do not lose heart. Have hope in Jesus. Have heart in Jesus. I think that's what happens. We lose heart. We lose hope in Jesus because, well, we're just not sure. On this Palm Sunday, have hope in Jesus. As you think through this week and what is taking place and what's happening next Sunday for Easter, come for Easter if you're in town, please come. We're going to reset the sanctuary and we're going to set up some more chairs and bring a friend. Share with them the hope that you have in Jesus. And as you walk out of here today, I'm going to pray for you in the next couple moments that you have hope, great hope in Jesus. Would you stand with me? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as I lead us in prayer? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I do want to ask this question. In the quietness of this moment, maybe your hope has been deflated. Maybe your hope has been disseminated. Maybe you didn't even realize it, but as I've been speaking, you're like, no, my hope has went down. And that's you this morning. You just like to raise your hand up, and I won't call you out by name, but the Lord will see your hand, and so will I. If that's you, and you just want to pray for an extra dose of hope, just do that now. Lord Jesus, there are moments when our hope just seems to go out. And I praise your holy name that when that happens, we have one that we can come back to and rest in and believe in and know that because of what you have done and how you have proved yourself time and time again, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will lift us up and that you will be our hope. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that as we think about this week, as I think about the days that are coming, as we think about this Easter Sunday coming next Sunday, that our hope would be founded in you. I pray for the hands that were lifted here this morning. You know each of those what appears to be hopeless situations. I pray, God, that you would provide great hope for those individuals, that they would put their trust and their hope in you, and that they would know that you are doing mighty things, even despite what we see. And so, Lord, create hope today for those individuals. I pray for the seasoned saint that's here today who put their hope in you a number of years ago, but their hope has faded some. And it's been, oh, I don't know. I pray that today they would walk out saying, I have hope in Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, give us opportunity this week to share with somebody, to invite them to Easter so that they can come and have hope in the resurrection in the same way that we do as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this service today. And I pray that as each person goes from this place today, I pray that you would guard each mind, that you would lift up each soul, that you would watch over each step. And Lord Jesus, may we be your representatives. May you shine through us. May you shine through us. And may we be like the city that's on the hill, not hiding, but shining for you because of your power.